Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running, with podcast number 80, The Problem of Overtraining. I received a listener question recently about overtraining and decided to do a whole podcast on that topic because it is a huge problem that results in disappointment, injuries, and frustration. But before we talk about that, just a quick update on the Mojo for Running coaching programs. As I record this, in late July of 2015, we're in the final stages of preparing for its relaunch. I opened the program last year, but I only opened the first two programs, the Walk to Run program and the First 5K program. These last few months have provided me with great insight about what you need, about how I might make changes in the program to make it even more beneficial to the people that are enrolled. I've listened. While I've had the content for the other two programs loaded onto the website for months, it became evident early on that I needed to give people more leeway to move from program to program and from week to week with ease. That way, that will soon be possible. Anyone enrolled will have access to all programs, all weeks of all programs for the duration of their membership. Another change will be that the other two programs will be open, and a third change will be that while the monthly subscription option will still be there, there will also be a single payment 6-month option, all access option, and a single payment 1-year all access option. So I hope that's going to be great. I'm excited about it. It's very nearly ready to launch. We're just testing it actually right now, and I'll be announcing that. I'll send an email to all the people on my newsletter list, and I'll also post it on the Facebook wall for the Mojo for Running group. Just wanted to give you a heads up about that. Now, let's talk about overtraining. We'll talk about what it is, how to recognize the symptoms, who it affects, and how to prevent it. Overtraining, also known as overtraining syndrome, is training too much with too little rest. A better name for it would really be under-resting, because it occurs when you get into a pattern of stressing your body without giving it adequate time to recover and repair, and your body gradually starts to fight back. It gets broken down. You may get away with giving your body inadequate recovery time once in a while or for a short time, but why would you? That defeats the purpose of stressing your body with training. We train to elicit a recovery and repair response, which leads to our bodies becoming stronger, which of course is the goal. It leads to them becoming capable of performing at a higher level the next time. We cannot ask our bodies to perform at a higher level without allowing them to recover. That's when the conditioning occurs. Ideally, you want to push your body enough to stress it and then give it sufficient time to recover in doing so and get even stronger. We've discussed that many times before, I realize that. The magic occurs when your body is recovering from training. Imagine a time way back when you were in school, and you studied a subject for a week, then you took a test. The test was the means for you to demonstrate what you knew and what you didn't know. Would the teacher give you another test over the same or even harder material the next day in the hope that you'd do better? Of course not. You wouldn't have had time to learn what you didn't know, and you certainly wouldn't have had time to learn new material. First, you'd need to have time to study the information you missed. Then you'd be ready to consume the next level of knowledge. After a few days, you would have more success with the same or a similar test, or even a test with more advanced information. Well, think about training. You stress your body. You need to let it repair. When it is in the repair state, it's recovering from the stress and preparing to perform better next time. If you stress it again and again without giving it time to recover, it will not cooperate. It will rebel. It will fail the test. This is not something that might happen. It will happen. It will happen. The first sign, or sometimes the most obvious sign, is that you stop improving. You plateau. Then your performance will even start to slide backwards. The likelihood that you will experience injury is greatly increased. The paradox here is that if you don't understand the principle of overload and recovery, you will likely decide that the reason you're not improving is that you're not working hard enough. Imagine how much that can accelerate your decline. If you don't let your body recover, then no amount of speed work, hill repeats, strength training, or cross training will make you a better runner, because lack of training is not the problem. The problem is lack of recovery or inadequate recovery. If you try to fix your lack of success with more and harder workouts, the results will be a much more serious situation, one that will require more time to correct. My goal here is to help you recognize when you're overtraining, or, better yet, avoid ever allowing it to happen in the first place. Consider, too, that stresses in life, besides running, can add to the drain on your body. Adding to the stress on your body, and you must consider all the stresses. Any stress is a drain on your body. This kind of stress could be a work schedule, situations with the family or a spouse, caring for a sick relative, the loss of a relative, and more. Think about it. Think about how you feel after a hard or long race. Then think about how you have felt after the most intense emotional experiences of your life, good or bad. When my dad died, the intensity of emotions went on, of course, for weeks. Not just with the shock of his death, even though it wasn't a surprise, the finality of it is still somehow shocking. But then the next extremely intense days that followed, writing the obituary, notifying friends and relatives, each time getting worked up all over again, writing the eulogy, making funeral arrangements, the visitation, the funeral, all while trying to cope with the reality that he was gone. During the days after the funeral, I felt like I could barely get out of bed. I told David I felt like I had been run over by a truck. No endurance event ever made me feel that physically exhausted, not even close. Well, don't think for a minute that that kind of experience doesn't take an even greater toll on your body than running training. Now, that's extreme, and most people will rarely experience that kind of stress. However, most people will at some times during their lives. Think about the long-term, day-to-day stress that you may have from your job, or from your family situation. Almost everybody has some degree of daily stress. Maybe you have a teenager, or a two-year-old, or you sometimes have to work the night shift, or you're facing a career change, or a divorce, or you're moving, or getting married. All these factors can actually contribute to overtraining. That's why it should be called under-resting. In all the above-mentioned situations, you likely will actually train less because you're so busy and tied up with those things, or with less intensity. However, great stress is still being placed on your body. Let me diverge from the topic of overtraining and explain something that's closely related. When these high-stress life events occur, these incidents or periods of your life that cause you extra stress, running can be the very best medicine, but your running needs to be appropriately low-intensity exercise that helps you cope. At these times, you may have to depart from your schedule to actually prevent overtraining, but you can keep the running. Just keep it easy, very easy. At those times, throw out any intervals or speed training. Cancel the next race or next few races. If you don't, the races themselves will add stress. Run solo sometimes to give yourself time to cope. If you had passed me running a few weeks ago, you might have been surprised that at sometimes you would have seen tears running down my face. But I know that was good for me. And the runs with close friends were equally good for me. Speed work would not have been good for me. I had to change my mindset and just tell myself to put one foot in front of the other. One foot in front of the other. In those stressful times, just do what you can. Just let running be therapy that helps you with the stresses. There will be other times in your life when running can be the stimulus, the focus, but you have to be willing to back off and completely remove intense training and add more rest and recovery when you have too much other intensity in your life. I've so often said that we all need to make running the part of our lives that benefits us most. And that changes with time because our life is not running, and running is not our life. Sure, it's a huge part of it, but we always need to keep it in perspective and make sure it is always an asset that's making the rest of our lives better. So, as regards overtraining, what was a reasonable training schedule might not be reasonable for, say, the first few weeks of the school year, especially if you have young children, or the month or so when you're moving to a new town and adjusting to a new job, or coping with the anguish of being laid off. If you push too hard at those times, you'll have the symptoms of overtraining to make your life more difficult on top of the other stress. Of course, more often than not, the culprit is actually too little recovery for the running training that you're doing. But consider all life stresses do add to the physical stress caused by the training. Oftentimes, people who are experiencing the first hint of overtraining don't realize this is the issue, and they will step it up. Then they train even more, and so it goes. If this sounds like a recipe for disaster, it is. We've talked about this. Your work ethic can ruin your running. The work ethic that got you straight A's in college is the work ethic that'll get you discouraged and sidelined with injuries as a runner. Here are 8 signs that you're overtraining. 1. You're tired much of the time. You feel sluggish and run down. Your legs may even feel heavy. 2. You've stopped improving as a runner. Your times may even be getting slower. 3. You get sick often with colds, the flu, and such. 4. Your resting heart rate is going up or is higher than normal for you. 5. You're experiencing more aches, pains, and injuries than you used to, and when you get sore, it lasts longer. 6. Your motivation is low. 7. You're having trouble sleeping. 8. Your mood changes. You're not your usual cheerful self. You may even feel depressed. Sometimes family members are the first to notice this. In an article by Christy Ashwanden in Runner's World, she reports that Dr. Jack Raglan, Ph.D., a researcher on sports psychology and professor in the kinesiology department at Indiana University in Bloomington, said that changes in mood and behavior may be a better indicator than the athlete's physical condition. I'll link to that Runner's World article in the show notes because the whole thing is extremely illuminating. If you're experiencing even a couple of the symptoms above, it may be a sign that you're overtraining. If you're experiencing several of them, you probably are. Dr. Tim Noakes has a whole chapter in his book, The Lore of Running, about overtraining, and it is thorough. Among lots of other information in the 29-page chapter on overtraining, he provides 28 symptoms of overtraining. If you want to really get deep into this topic, for heaven's sakes, read that chapter. Here's a quote from that chapter. Rather than suffer additional damage that would result if the body were allowed to continue training in this depleted state, the body responds by making training impossible. We must learn to respect the messages that our bodies give us when they're trying to tell us that they have done too much. The good news is that this is a relatively easy situation to remedy. You won't need medication, and the treatment is downright pleasant. But if you're the type A personality type, it may be much more difficult than the training itself that got you into this situation, because your drive will need to be redirected. And that's not an easy thing to do, because it's part of your personality. It's who you are. Here is the easiest, simplest, most inexpensive cure. Give yourself a break. Yep, the cure for overtraining is giving your body what it hasn't been getting, which is, in fact, what caused the problem. You just need to let it rest and recover. How long? Well, of course, there's no way to say for sure. If you catch it early, a few days off will usually be all you need. But if you've been in this state for a while, if you're one of those people who kept training harder and harder, you'll need a few weeks, perhaps 6 to 8. be careful here, because if you go back to running too soon, you'll be right back where you started. And to recover, you'll have to start all over. Better to err on the side of caution and rest. When you return to training, ramp up very gradually to a sensible training plan that focuses on base building for a while. Just easy miles with no speed work, no intensity, and make sure you give yourself plenty of rest. I recommend 2 full days off a week. This is a great time to learn to love your runs again. And you'll need that, because when you're overtrained, nothing is fun. The running that you loved isn't fun anymore. It's disappointing. After several months of those easy base-building miles, gradually ease into a training program for your next goal race. But make sure you have a professional, quality program. Don't try to get by with making your schedule yourself. If you overtrained before, you'll likely fall right back into that habit again. Maybe not at first, but you have that tendency. I highly, highly recommend getting a coach. This is critical, as a coach will see what you don't see, and a coach will not let you overdo. If you push yourself too much or too often, your coach will fire you as a client. That's right, because if you overtrain, you will not perform well. You will be uncomfortable. You won't enjoy your runs. You won't achieve your goals, and you will likely experience injury. That makes your coach look bad, but more importantly, it gets your coach upset. There is no point in having a coach if you don't heed her advice. Her goal above all else is for you to achieve your goals, and if you overtrain, that will never happen. Actually, even more upsetting to your coach is that you're likely to get injured, and that's the most disturbing of all. That's the number one thing a coach is going to try to help you avoid. Now let's talk about what to do when you're resting. It's really pretty simple, mainly rest. But you could also do these things, or you should do these things. Get plenty of sleep. Your body recovers and rebuilds faster when you're asleep. I suggest keeping track of the number of hours of sleep you get every day and trying to do things, and there are many things you can actually do, to help you get to sleep earlier and sleep more soundly. If you do some research on the internet, there are all kinds of people doing research into ways to improve the quality of your sleep. Find those and apply some of those so that you're not only getting enough sleep, but a good restful night's sleep. Eat a healthy diet. If your diet wasn't great before, then use this time to do some research and find out what works best for you. Since you're not running, this is a good time to transfer your focus to nutrition. You need something to focus on. You might even hire a nutrition coach. Continue with other usual health self-care as well, such as massages. Yoga might be a good idea during this time. To help you identify overtraining, check your resting heart rate every morning before arising. And keep a record. If it starts to creep up, that should be an alert. Of course, some variability is normal, but Dr. Tim Noakes says to watch for increases of 5 to 10 beats per minute. This may be an indication of overtraining. However, it could also be caused by other factors. If you record your resting heart rate each morning, you'll know when something is up. One of the things you need to do is you need to One of the things you need to do, if you do believe you might be overtraining, is to assess whether there could be some other physical issue. Keep that in mind. If you think this can't happen to you, you're wrong. It can happen to any runner. This can happen just as easily to beginner runners because what they do is every bit as stressful on their bodies. A new runner running his first miles will be stressing his body as much as an experienced runner running 6 miles or more in each workout. It is every bit as critical for the newer runner to allow plenty of rest and recovery as the veteran. If that's you, if you are a newer runner, one way to keep this in perspective is to avoid comparing yourself to veteran runners. If you compare yourself to experienced runners, you'll feel like you're not doing much, and therefore, you don't get give yourself enough rest and you do too much. The more accurate perspective is to compare yourself to the past you when you weren't even running. Then you'll realize that you're doing a lot now. How can you prevent overtraining? Working with a coach, as I mentioned, is probably the very best way. No matter what your level, work with a coach if you can. If you can't do that, if you can't work with a coach in person, then try to work with an online coach. There are many. Many online coaches, like me, do online coaching calls. This gives you a chance to self-evaluate under the coach's guidance. If you can't do that, make sure you're training with a professionally prepared schedule that's appropriate for you, for your daily life, for your experience, and for your health. Even then, it's not as good as having a coach because a coach will be able to evaluate your condition on a regular basis and will notice the first signs of overtraining. A coach will likely recognize the added stress from other elements of your life as well. The number one thing you can do is to build in 2 rest days into every week. Many people only take off 1 day, and that may work for you, but 2 days is better and will go a long way to prevent overtraining. And if you even start to feel ragged and tired, give yourself an immediate 3-day vacation from training. It's fine to walk. Walking is great exercise, but that's it. Nothing more stressful. Do that at any sign of overtraining, and you'll save yourself much more missed training later. Another wise training pattern is to either alternate hard, easy weeks or insert a very easy week every 3rd week. Say you normally run 30 miles per week, then every other week or every 3rd week, drop it down to 20. A 3rd piece of advice is to put 2 rest or recovery days off back-to-back at least once every few weeks. This provides time for much more recovery. Now, if you want a better understanding of the physiology of what happens when you overtrain, please check out the resources in the show notes. I'm not good at explaining the physiology that occurs. Science was my worst subject in school, so I'd rather refer you to the experts. Tim Noakes provides a thorough explanation in the book that I mentioned earlier, The Lore of Running. That's an ideal book to have on your shelf anyway if you're a serious runner. But let me warn you, it is a 960-page tome, so it likely is not something you'll sit down and read in one evening, but it is a great reference to any runner of any ability. I love having it on my shelf. And just remember that overtraining is better understood as under-resting. Hopefully, listening to this podcast will alert you to any problem of overtraining, and you'll recognize it immediately if you start to fall into that trap. I would love to hear your comments on this topic. Please go to the Mojo for Running Facebook page and comment there. Now, today's quote: nothing's better than running along with the wind to your back, the sun in front of you, and your friends beside you.